Ladies and gentlemen, wonderful to be here again this morning, gathered in our Father's house. And so as we are gathered here this morning, we love hearing good news, don't we? And every once in a while, we have texts that are hard texts. You know what I'm saying? Where God is giving us things that we would prefer not to always have to hear. And this is the third Sunday in a row where we have such a text, you know, texts that have some hard words in it. And but don't worry, it all ends good. All right, we'll give you that. All right, but basically here, yeah, we're gathered here today to receive the grace and blessings of our Lord and Jesus Christ, but also the warnings that he gives us about the kinds of things that we're going to be facing in the future. And so as we do so fully trusting in him, knowing that he is bigger than any of the problems that are ever going to face us, and that in the end, we end up with him in a perfect place. And that during the times that we go through these difficulties, he walks with us every single step of the way, giving us all that we need in every circumstance so that we can continue to be his people. And so as we know these things, let us begin our worship today, remembering the day that we came into this family of faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand.
Let us pray. Faithful God, whose mercies are new to us every morning, we pray humbly that you would look upon us in mercy and renew us by your Holy Spirit. Keep safe our going out and our coming in, and let your blessing remain with us throughout this day. Preserve us in your righteousness and grant us a portion in that eternal life which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us return praise to God our Father in heaven.
Of a God. his ways. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere his glory on display. Take a look at the stars, he can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the winds and the waves obey our God. Is it awesome? He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And even when I ran, he didn't run away. He came and put death back in its place. Friday on the cross, from a shame. Sunday morning rose up from that grave. Take a look at the stars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Let the saints and the angels sing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. For everything you've done, and everything you do, and everything you are, I'll sing to you. My God, you're an awesome God. You're great in all you do, my name. To worship you, my God, you're an awesome God. Oh.
Good morning. My name is Jeff. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and he really is an awesome God. Amen. Amen. The first reading this morning is from Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. Nevertheless, in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it used what is good to bring about my death, so that through the commandment, sin might become utterly sinful. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading today comes to us from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 42. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Did you hear what was just read from the Bible? Talks about family members who don't get along with other family members. They get angry with each other. And you know what? A big reason for that is some have Jesus and some don't. We are so blessed that our parents loved us so much that they brought us to church and brought us to Sunday school so that we will learn about Jesus and learn to love Jesus. If we learn to love Jesus and someone else says some nasty things about Jesus, that would upset us, wouldn't it? We don't want to hear people talk about Jesus that way. And this is what brings division in a family. When some people believe in Jesus and some people don't, that's not healthy, is it? What we enjoy in our families is unity, that is oneness, because we all love Jesus together, we worship Jesus together, our parents love us so much that they bring us to church every Sunday and bring us to Sunday school every week so that we can learn more and more about God. We can learn more and more about Jesus and grow closer to Him as a family. And our family grows closer and closer together so that we be one. We be one in Jesus Christ. And that is truly a blessing because Jesus, what did Jesus do for you? Who can tell me? Yes, what did Jesus do for you? He died on the cross to pay for our sins. You got it. That's right. And because He did that, you and I can be absolutely certain, we're sure that we're going to go to heaven forever and ever and live with Jesus in heaven. That is a blessing. That's a blessing, isn't it? And we as a family, we can share that together. And that becomes a part of our oneness. in our family and how blessed we are to have parents who could love us so much. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you very much for giving us Christian parents who bring us to hear the wonderful words of the Bible, where we learn about you and learn to love you and learn how much you love us. Keep us, God, always one in that love. Amen.
Yeah, I have a little gripe with the pericope. I don't know if you guys understand exactly how texts and Bibles, you know, all this stuff is done in churches, but we have there is a long-standing list of readings, and we follow the three-year lectionary, which means that there is a three-year cycle of readings, and on every Sunday there is a gospel, an epistle, an Old Testament, a psalm. There's like all of these readings that we get to pick from. And a lot of times we'll pick from the gospel, and that's what we're doing right now. And like I said earlier, this is another hard text. And it kind of bothers me a little bit because when I'm preaching out of Matthew 10, in Matthew 6, Jesus tells his disciples, do not be anxious about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, because the flowers of the field and all, you know, all that stuff, right? Yeah, okay, fine. Good news, right? Yeah. And then Matthew 8, Jesus calms the storm, right? And when Peter starts to sink, he picks him up and he says, oh, you have little faith. And Jesus took care of his disciples. And the big message is, Jesus is in control. Trust him. It's good news, right? And, then in Matthew 11, which is the chapter right after my chapter, yeah, Jesus goes to his disciples and he says, any of you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me and I will give you, see, good news, right? Okay, here's the beginning of my sermon, or my text. Do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, this doesn't sound as good, you know? Especially for Jesus, who came here to be the Prince of Peace, right? I mean, you've heard him called that. But today he's telling us something completely different. He says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That doesn't sound as hard. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. This doesn't get better. And the question I have is, well, how can Jesus both be the Prince of Peace and the one who comes to bring a sword? And the illustration I'm going to use to fix this is baseball. Because I listened to a comedian once, and he was hilarious, because, you know, he's a comedian. But the thing is that the comedian basically said, you know, we don't really cheer for the players, we really cheer for the jerseys. You understand? And I know this because every once in a while in the middle of a season, a really good player on your team, the one that you are cheering for, gets traded to the enemy. And one of the enemy gets traded to your team. Now, what has just happened is that the hero has become the enemy, and the enemy is now a hero because they changed shirts. Seems weird, but isn't it the way things are? And so the thing is that for us as Christians, the way this looks is this. There are two teams on earth. There's team God, and there's team not God, right? I mean, there's all, you know, the people who follow the devil, the people who follow the world, and the people who follow their own flesh. It doesn't matter which route you take, you end up in the same place. You are not one of God's people, right? Not a disciple, not following after him, not doing what you can to bring around God's desires in this world. Or you are one of the redeemed, one of the people who have been brought to God by God, given faith, and converted, made into something you weren't before, taken from being an enemy of God to being a disciple, one that loves and follows God because of all that God has done for us by dying on the cross and earning us forgiveness and delivering that forgiveness to us through the Holy Spirit by faith. Whew. Covered all the corners of that doctrine. All right, but the thing is that, guys, listen, there are two teams. When you are converted, understand what is happening. You are going from team world, team devil, team our own flesh, to team Jesus. Which means you are changing sides on an epic eternal battle between good and evil, right? That ever since the fall, the devil and the world has been dragging people away from God, trying to get people to do anything but worship God, and it's anything. Some people are misled by witchcraft and true demon things, right? Real. And some people are misled just by being distracted. Just look at anything in the world other than Jesus, and the devil wins. And so there are those who are lethargic in the devil's camp, and there are those who are militant in the devil's camp. And when we become a Christian, we become their enemy. And the trouble with this is it doesn't stay distant. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like this. Is if you have somebody not like you at work, it's annoying, right? It's bothersome. It's not comfortable. But it's easier than if somebody in your house doesn't like you. Correct? Well, what's the Bible telling us today? Well, if you and your family have been on team world, devil, your own sinful flesh, right? And all of a sudden, God calls you out of darkness into his light, and you switch over to team Jesus. And now, instead of chasing after all the things you used to chase after, and instead of looking at the ways you used to live and the way you used to keep score in life and how, when you were doing good and when you were doing poorly, and the ways that you, the things that you used to value and the things that you value now, the great changes that happen in your life when God transforms you from his enemy to his child, it's rather a lot. And if you're doing it at all right, people will probably notice. And they may notice you switch sides. And then they become your, which is really hard to think about. You're talking about an enemy, but you're talking about your child, your spouse, your parents. You're talking about people who are extremely close to you, people you love. But now they're your enemy. So, my friends, how do we treat our enemies? You know what? Jesus talked about this in Matthew. It's kind of amazing. Matthew 5, he talks about retaliation. He says, if anybody hurts you, what are you supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. Somebody tells you to pick up their coat and carry it for whatever, you're supposed to. He even tells you we're supposed to pray for those who persecute us. Which is a weird kind of enemy situation. Unfortunately, that's not reciprocated by the people who become our enemies when we become faith, you know, come to faith. Oftentimes, those who are against our faith, against our God, and against our relationship with God, which is the core of our identity, right? I mean, there's all these identities in the world today. People are always talking about, well, I need to go out in the world and find myself. Well, let me tell you where you are, okay? You are God's child. That is your identity. That is who you are. when everything else is peeled away. All right? So there is one thing that you are, and everything else is adjectives describing that thing, right? So in other words, I am a child of God who is married to my wife and father of my boys, right? Now, am I a husband and a father? But those are just describing who I am in the core. Who I am in the core is I am a child of who it happens to be a pastor. But who am I in my core? A child of God. So if I'm no longer a pastor, am I still the same person I was before? If I'm no longer a husband, am I the same person I was before? Because God defined me. Incidentally, when we're dealing with identities out in the world, if the identity ever conflicts with that core identity, you know you're going the wrong direction, right? Like I am a child of God who steals. There's a problem with that, right? I'm a child of God who gossips. There's a problem with that. You understand? You see the conflict and you see how this works. There is no identity other than the one that God gives us. And because of that, how much conflict will we have with the world? Because the world has lots of identities, right? Lots of options, lots of places that you can go with this. And we say, what's more correct? What God says about you or what you think about yourself? And how many people would be extremely upset with us for talking like this? Notice I'm roping you into this. I don't want to stand alone on it. Seriously, I mean, people would be upset, right? And they could throw all kinds of hate and anger and all kinds of vitriol our way. They could misrepresent what we're trying to say. They could do all kinds of things to us and hurt us in many, many ways. And what Jesus is saying is, yes, that is going to happen. It will. People are going to say terrible things about you. They're going to misrepresent you. They're going to pass you off as evil. If you follow Jesus and devote yourselves to doing the good that God wants us to do in the world, people will call you evil. It is bizarre, it is backward, and it is true. You know what they called Jesus? They told Jesus, you are Beelzebub because you're casting out demons. And who would listen to demons but a bigger demon? Only a bigger demon could cast out demons, right? Because the God thing was just not an option for them. And so they had to come up with an alternative thing. And so they called Jesus a demon. Well, if they treated Jesus this way, how do you think they're going to treat us? I mean, and what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples today is this. Listen. You are children of the light. You belong to me. I love you. I rescued you. I paid the penalty for you. I made you my own. You are mine. If you're worried about the things of this world, don't worry. I am the God of this world. I will provide for you. You think that you're not important? I say you are important. You were important enough to die for. And I'm not done yet. Now Jesus is up in heaven saying, I am preparing a place to spend eternity with you. That was the whole point in the first place. Jesus loves you so much. He died on the cross so that you could be with him forever. And that's the goal. Understand the motivation. Understand the intensity of the passion of Jesus toward you. And Jesus says, I am the God of peace. I have created peace between you and God. And I am creating peace between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ, because if we are all children of God, there should be no hate among us because we are on the same team. But there is another team. And when you join one, you become the enemy of the other. So don't be surprised when you go out into the world and face persecutions of many kinds, because they are coming. They are not a bug. It is not something is wrong. God is not in control. Somehow all this evil is getting past God's divine plan. It's not like that. It is simply this. Until Jesus comes again, evil is in this world. Sin continues to mess things up. It messes up people, relationships, even the weather, you know, earthquakes, famines. All these things are because there's sin in the world, because when Adam and Eve first fell into sin, it disrupted everything in God's perfect creation. And until he comes again, we will continue to live in the context of sin. And Jesus says, this is how it will be. And we say, Jesus, come back. You know, there's children who are starving and dying, people who are suffering and dying in war. Why won't Jesus come back and put an end to this? Why will this not end? And Jesus tells us, he gives us parables where he says, I'm waiting. I'm waiting because there are still some who aren't saved. I'm waiting for the last ones, the people who haven't been rescued yet, but I love them just as much as I love all the rest of them. And I know it's going to hurt you. I know you're going to experience pain for it, but look at the pain I've experienced. Suffer with me for them. Hold on. Don't give up. Keep the faith, and you will receive the crown of life. And in the meantime, it's easy to try to hide our faith. If we get into persecution times, it's easy to hide our faith. It's easy when you see somebody who is saying something that is correct and they are bold and they stand up and say it and you're like, oh boy, I wouldn't have said that. They're going to be really get hammered now. And then the hammer falls on them and you say nothing. What does our text say? That if you support a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. Is it okay to stay quiet when somebody is speaking truth and they start getting hammered for it? No, we got to speak up. We have to add our voice to theirs and speak the truth that God gave us. We have to. It's our job. It's one of the things God told us to do. He said, listen, you're still in this world. I know it's hard. I know it's sinful. I know it's messy. I am with you always. I will provide for you. I will give you words to say. I will be there with you in every moment. But here's the thing that I want you to do. And one of those things is you have to speak truth. Do it winsomely. Do it without harshness. You know, I mean, you don't have to make enemies unnecessarily, right? But at the same time, we can't just let somebody suffer alone, a brother or sister suffer alone because of their faith. What about when you see, you know, bullies are a thing, right? They're just kind of out there in the world today. And bullying is one of the ways that people can kind of manipulate and control the people around them. And one of the ways that the world tries to control Christians is by allowing Christians to be bullied or actively bullying them, right? And if we see a Christian being bullied, is it okay to just let it happen? And avoid anybody being mean to me. You know, if you see somebody being treated terribly, do we stand up and take the bullet as well? Or do we just stay quiet and hope nobody notices us? The thing is, folks, is this. If we never get persecution in the world, we probably aren't quite doing it right. You understand this? If we are being the person that God has made us to be, if we are on Team Jesus and living it boldly, the other team will notice. if we try to sneak our faith in Jesus, we may not get any attention from the bad folks, but is that good? Is that what God wants? And I really truly believe that this is why. I've always wondered this. When I was a child, remember Peter and John got thrown into jail? And they praised God that they were found worthy of being persecuted for the sake of the gospel? Isn't that a crazy thing? I mean, it's like, yay, I'm in jail. What? But think about that. They understood. Persecution is normal. And if you're not feeling it at all, it probably means you're not living your faith boldly. And when they lived their faith boldly and ended up in jail for it, they celebrated because they said, see, we must be doing it right. Now, don't think that just because you do something really stupid and end up in jail that that qualifies. All right, not the way that works. It's only when you're like in jail for actively doing the things that God told us to do, like speaking his word. All right, very good. Folks, it's an interesting thing, is it not? This entire thing of Jesus telling us, listen, you are my disciples, I love you, in the context of teaching his disciples and preparing them to go into the world and share his grace, he warns them. But he doesn't warn them in a hopeless way. He warns them in a powerful way. Yes, bad times can come. But in those times, you are not alone. In those times, I am with you. Trust in me. I won't let you down. Let me be your rock. The world can't carry you, but I can. And one day, we are going to be with him and all those who will before him and all the Christians who come after us, and we are going to gather in the throne room of God, and we are going to praise the one who we will finally understand in ways that we don't understand him now. And we will praise him as he deserves. And so, yes, persecution. But yes, redemption and eternal salvation. All is true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you have continued to be with your people and that you have set us, given us work to do in this world. Help us, Lord, to boldly do it, Lord. To do it regardless, Lord, of what the outcome could be for us. So that we can continue, Lord, to be your mouth, your hands, your feet in the world, to speak your word, that others may live. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. Changing me, changing you. We have come.
My friends, let us now stand as we profess our faith using the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctifies the whole. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let us pray. O holy and most merciful God, you have taught us the way of your commandments. We implore you to pour out your grace into our hearts. Cause it to bear fruits in us, that being ever mindful of your mercies and your laws, we may always be directed to your will. Help us to follow the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to walk in his steps until we shall possess the kingdom that has been prepared for us in heaven. Lord, also be with some of the people in our congregation. Specifically, please be with the family of Farrell Manshine, who was laid to rest last Thursday. We pray especially for his wife of 76 years, Joyce, and the grandsons who were especially close to him. Lord, also please be with the members of our first responders. Gracious Father, you have promised to be with us and have blessed us through wonderful servants in our life. Thank you for the men and women who serve us as first responders. We ask that you grant your protection and safety to those whom you have called to serve their neighbor when their property and lives are at risk. Give them the courage to carry out their unique tasks. Let your holy angel be with them and encircle them under the pinions of your wings. We pray this in the name of your holy and precious Son, who has taught us together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower.
God has come to us once again, and through his amazing sacrament and the miracle that he works in this by giving us his body and blood in this bread and wine, and not just that, but the forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation that is the very things that we so desperately need to keep our faith strong in him in this world that's not the easiest to live in. But our God knows what he needs, or knows what we need. And he is faithful in giving it to us. And knowing that we have received all this, depart in peace to serve him in joy. Amen. and receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. Please stand as we sing. Amen. Have a seat, folks. All right. First of all, children, if you're going to Sunday school, you can meet Lauren out in the back right now, and she will whisk you away to the right place. The rest of us, first of all, don't forget about the swim party later today, 6:15 to 8:15 at the Timbers. And if you look good in your suit, we're going to work hard at helping you with that. Pizza is provided. Okay. Very good. And then the other thing is that we are going to, right after the service today, we're going to be having our next Bible study on biblical archaeology. Today we're going to be talking about Capernaum, the north kind of headquarters for Jesus during his ministry. All right? So with that, I think that's everything I have. Is there anything else? Oh, wait. There was something else. Pool party. The Sunday school. Nope, that's it. That's all of it. Okay. Unless anybody else have something? Speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay, we're good. Blessings, folks.